This morning we're going to be in John chapter 10. We're going to be talking about Jesus as the shepherd and the door. And Tim was kind enough to bring in this. It's not a cane, even though it looks like a cane. You got to be a pretty tall person for this to. Maybe some of you guys would work, but at a shepherd's crook to kind of help us to understand and get some idea of some of the things that would go along with being a shepherd. So in the first 6 verses of John chapter 10, let me read those first. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth his own hand, he goes ahead. Starting in verse 4 again. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things with which he had been saying to them. All right, so Jesus being the shepherd here. First off, what does a shepherd do? He leads the way, and he leads from the front. You know, unlike many earthly shepherds who will push their flocks from behind, Jesus draws us towards him, setting an example through his actions and his teachings. He went before us, and we are to follow in his footsteps, as Peter said. And that's what the sheep do. They will follow the shepherd. Now, in traditional shepherding, you know, in places found like in Middle East, Palestine, other regions, with similar pastoral practices, the shepherd, even today, still does walk in front of the sheep to lead, and they lead so that they can get to the good pastures and the water sources, because the sheep don't know where those are. They don't know the safe passages. So the sheep will follow the shepherd because they recognize his voice, trust him, much like the metaphor that Jesus uses here in John chapter 10. Now, the way the shepherd, he is allowed to go out ahead to scout for potential dangers. He's not going to lead them into or along a path that is a dangerous path, along a side of a cliff. I'm always amazed when you see those videos of those, I think they're Isben sheep that just go up the side of a cliff. They're just amazing to me. But that's not a normal sheep. A sheep, they wouldn't make it very, they wouldn't make it to the first step. So a shepherd has to go and find the places that he knows the sheep can traverse in a safe fashion. And he knows where the watering places are, whether they be streams or standing water somewhere. So the shepherd is the one that knows through his understanding and care for each one of the sheep, each one of his flock. Now, there's also a personal connection that Jesus brings out in this particular passage as well. He says he knows them by their name. So this personal knowledge by the shepherd implies that of his ownership of those sheep and his dedication to their well-being, as Christ is for us. He knows us by name, and he is personally invested in our well-being. And our response to his leadership, it's first off, it's to recognize his voice. I had to really laugh when Brian started his and finished up his stewardship, as I'm sure a lot of you ladies did after Helen's lesson this morning. There was a rumor that went around, a little murmuring about all of the noises and distractions. And Brian starts talking about the noises and the distractions. And I'm going to talk about the noises and the distractions. So it was funny. So how do we recognize his voice? First off, it resonates with those who are tried in this life, who are burdened or lost, and it provides the comfort and the direction that we need. And the world around us is certainly clamoring for our attention. There's countless voices out there. So how do we respond to his voice? Well, first off, his voice is distinct. It's discernible to those who are weary and heavy laden, burdened. We learn to tune out the noise and tune into his voice because it's known to us. It's the voice of our shepherd. Have you ever been in a noisy room having a conversation with another person? So the ability to have a one-on-one conversation in a room full of other people is known as, it's a real thing, the cocktail party effect. But seeing as how we don't want to necessarily use that term, we're going to use the noisy room effect. It goes along better, all right? This is you know, kind of follow along with me here. It's primarily due to a combination of physiological and cognitive abilities within us. I'm going to get a little bit technical, but I'm not going to really dive into it too deep, but because it is really kind of interesting. First is the physiological abilities within all of us. It's the first one is selective attention. Our auditory system, okay, can focus on a specific sound source while filtering out background noise. We can do that. And this involves the brain's ability to enhance the attended or desired speech and suppress the unattended sounds. And how this actually applies to us in our spiritual life. And the second one is binaural hearing. We have two ears, and the use of both ears helps to locate the direction of the sounds, which allows us to focus on a particular speaker in a very noisy environment. And this is known as sound localization. Say what? Exactly. It fades with age. All right, so we also have some cognitive abilities or our brain functions, okay? First one is attention and focus. The brain actively filters out irrelevant stimuli. Your brain can do that. It can filter those out. This cognitive process helps us to concentrate on the conversation we're interested in and ignore other distractions around us. And also something called working memory. This is interesting. Our ability to retain and process information in real time, you know, as it's coming in, allows us to keep track of the conversation that we're in despite the surrounding noise. And then there is language and contextual cues, you know, keeping things in context. We use this context and prior knowledge to fill in gaps in the conversation. Sometimes you're speaking with someone and you don't catch every single word, but I could go off on tangent there, John. We'll just leave that one alone. We can go. Yeah, sign language. But we can fill in the gaps, even though we don't hear every single word, that we can put it together and we can make sense out of it. If you've ever seen illustrations where someone would take a sentence or a paragraph and take out every vowel A, all of the A vowels. Well, when you're reading that, in the first sentence, it's like, okay, it takes you a little while. But by the time the end of the paragraph, you've caught on because your brain fills it in. It knows what's supposed to be in there. That's what we're talking about. Contextually, it fills in those gaps. So, and also familiarity with the language and the speaker's voice helps us better comprehend and focus. So this, there's also psychological factors that go along with this too. And that is, those psychological factors are our motivation and our interest. If we're not motivated or if we're not interested in a conversation, then we just drift off and we're thinking about something else. But being interested in the conversation can enhance our ability to focus in on it. Motivation plays a very important role in that selective attention. And also experience. Probably some of us that have been in schoolroom situations, okay? When you're used to a noisy environment, like waiters or teachers, they can often develop better skills on focusing on a very specific conversation because they're used to that environment. And then training. The techniques and practices that improve concentration and selective listening can enhance all of these abilities as well. So this noisy room effect is a result of the work that's going on within how we're made up physically, but also our brain, how it works, along coupled with motivation. Are we really interested in a in what's being spoken about? You know, are we going to, you know, are we going to lean forward? Are we going to lean into the conversation? Really be interested in it? So in the passage, there's a passage in the Old Testament kind of illustrates this idea. It's in 1 Kings 19. You don't need to go there because you're familiar with the passage. It's when the prophet Elijah, he is running from Queen Jezebel, who is threatening his life, and he's hiding in a cave. And Elijah has this encounter with God. The passage describes God, you know, revealing himself not through great and powerful forces, you know, wind, earthquake, fire, but through a gentle whisper. And I'm gonna read excerpts from it. It says, "And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord." You have to imagine that was pretty strong wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. "After the wind, an earthquake." But the Lord was not in the earthquake. "After the earthquake, a fire." But the Lord was not in the fire. "And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing." So when Elijah heard this gentle whisper, covered his face with his cloak, went out to stand in the entrance of the cave, and there is where he had a conversation with God. So this account really highlights the idea that that God can speak in quiet, subtle ways, not just through dramatic or miraculous events that, you know, would gather the attention of most. We can discern his voice even in the midst of all of the noise around us, just like Elijah did. He was definitely in the midst of a lot of outside noise, but he heard the Lord in a gentle whisper. We can do the same. So our recognition of Jesus' voice urges us to follow him without hesitation, and this trust is built on our experience and his good care and assurance that his path leads to life and to light. As Christians, we don't need to know all of the details about the journey that's out ahead of us. Not our job. Not important. Our peace comes from knowing the one who does lead us. We're secure and content in his presence, confident that no matter where he leads, it's the best path for us. Similar to a military leader who's gained the trust or faith of those that are underneath his command. They're willing to follow him into danger because they know that he will do his best to keep them safe. Are we listening to his voice amid all the chaos around us? So I want to move on to Jesus as the door, verses 7 through 9. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So Jesus describes himself here as the door, the only legitimate way through which they can access God's spiritual blessings. He's not just a pathway, he's also a protector and a provider of these blessings. There's no plan B, there's no back door, there is only through Jesus. So as the door, Jesus ensures that those who enter through him will find safety and nourishment. He guards against false teachers and harmful influences that try to lead his sheep astray. So inside Christ's fold, we find safety from both our internal struggles and external threats. The dangers in life all around us, attacks of the enemy can't reach us when we are under Christ's care. Imagine standing outside in a raging storm, and before you is a safe, warm home, but you need to go through the door in order to get in there. Spiritually, we're often like people caught in a storm like that. There's only one place that is safe for us, where we have protection, where we have nourishment. We face dangers all around us, uncertainties every day, and there are hardships in life, no doubt about that, that makes us crave that safety and the peace that Christ offers. Christ says he is that door, the entryway to those things. In a world where we are bombarded with the harsh realities of sin all around us and the consequences, having a door, a place of refuge, is not just nice, it's essential. It's critical. Just as a door to a pasture allows sheep to pass and enjoy the abundant food, Christ opens a way for us to access God's spiritual blessings. And these aren't just any blessings. They're the nourishment of our soul. We're not talking about, obviously here, physical food. We're talking about nourishment for our souls that our soul desperately needs, just like the knowledge of God, his favor, and his help for us. Those are things that we need. A door not only lets us into a place of provision, but also protects us from the dangers that are outside as well. So in spiritual terms, life outside of Christ is deadly. We are like sheep that might wander off a cliff or fall prey to wolves, but Christ is the one that protects us from those dangers, offers us a safe haven where we can not only thrive, but survive and thrive. You know, that's the place that we need to be. So inside that fold, as our stewardship meditation spoke about, we have a community. We have communion. We have other Christians around us. It's where we experience the joy and support of the fellowship with others that have the same faith as what we do. Christ, the door, invites us to that divine fellowship, a place where we're understood, loved, and cared for by our shepherd as well as each other. So recognizing Jesus as the door involves several things: acknowledging his authority, role as his being the only mediator between God and mankind. But it requires a conscious decision to faithfully and obey and follow him. Now, the invitation to enter through the door is extended to all, everyone, regardless of society or economic status. Jesus' call is inclusive, all-inclusive. He's offering salvation and abundant life to everyone who chooses to follow him. But Jesus doesn't stop at just offering life. He promises life in abundance, not just life, not just getting your foot in the door, okay with just making it. No, he offers life abundantly. This isn't about material wealth. We recognize that, or a trouble-free existence. That doesn't occur. But a life of spiritual and eternal salvation, satisfaction. Jesus contrasts his mission on earth with that of the thief. While the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy, Jesus comes to give life and give life abundantly. And that life surpasses simple existence. So the thief, whether he appears as a false teacher, a misguided leader, or even our own misguided desires, they can come from within us as well, those come only to steal, kill, and destroy. So the life that Jesus offers is characterized by spiritual fullness and depth. It's a life that continually grows, nourished by his teaching and presence. So the abundant life involves an ongoing, deepening relationship with Jesus. So by embracing Jesus as both our shepherd and the door, we gain access to that life that is secure, abundant, and deeply connected with God. And as we follow him, listen to his voice, we're guided into the pastures, spiritual richness, as well as fellowship with other Christians. So, the next time you want to hear what God has to say to you, use the tips on how to have a conversation with someone else in a noisy room, because many times it's exactly our surroundings, lots of noise all around us, trying to distract us. Selective attention on a specific sound source, filtering out all of the background noise. You know, there's lots of books that we can read, lots of devotions, lots of meditations, lots of commentaries, but those are background noise. The main voice we hear, we filter everything through God's word. And then we lean into the conversation. You know, when you see two people in a room that are leaning towards each other, you can tell they're in a conversation. They want to hear what the other one is saying. We need to lean into our conversation with God. We have binaural hearing, both ears. We need to use them extensively. The brain can filter out irrelevant distractions. And then familiarity with the language and the speaker's voice helps in better comprehension and focus. Being interested in the conversation, not just checking off that you did your Bible reading that day, but focusing in on it. Motivation plays a key role in our selective attention. And experience. People can get used to noisy environments like waiters and teachers. So this noisy room effect is something that we can overcome if we really want to hear and understand. So lean into it. Listen to that gentle whisper, that still, small voice. Thanks for your attention.